In the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Well, the Cowboys, along with the NFL and the Super Bowl contractors that handled the stadium during the Super Bowl when it was here, they have settled the lawsuit against that dude who was hit by falling ice. His name is Sports Sampson. No, Severin. Severin Sampson. That's a weird name. Severin. There's Snape and then Severin Sampson, right? There's only two Severins I know.
Doc Severin.
Ooh, good one, Jaren.
Brent Severin.
Yeah.
That's a last name. Both of those are last names. Anyway, this guy, he suffered a fractured skull, and he has permanent hearing loss and severe ringing in his ears, which they say is equivalent to 70 to 100 decibels, like a leaf blower running in his ear at all times. So they settled. There was a confidentiality agreement. We don't know how much this was worth, but they did assign blame in percentages here. The jury voted 10 to 2 that 70% of the blame should go to the Cowboys. 25% of the blame goes to the NFL, and the remaining 5% was placed with the people who were managing the stadium for the Super Bowl.
So they should have just told people to stay away from the stadium until the ice melted? Is that...
Well, that wasn't an option, but they maybe should have had some sort of ice guard built into the stadium.
Well, no, I think it was because that didn't happen like Super Bowl day. It happened like...
3 days before.
3 days before.
Yeah. Yeah, but wasn't it still freezing by the time the Super Bowl rolled around?
Yeah, but somehow I don't think it was a danger to the fans going that day. They'd broken it up or something.
Did they set off, you know, like percussive bombs to make the ice fall off?
No, I don't think
so. After they cleared the scene? Well, I'm not saying to do it while...
They did
get this guy... Yeah. I'm saying, like, after this happened, they had to do something to get that ice off of it.
I thought they went up there and sprayed it down with something that made it melt.
Yeah.
These all sound like very technical explanations.
What they should have done is installed one of those, like, rear window defoggers on the bottom side, you know? That way it wouldn't have an ice problem at all. Just
always fascinated by that as a kid.
Bottom.
The rear defrost?
Yeah, and it always seemed like it was real iffy technology because it was always one or two of them things that didn't work. There'd be one section that never... completely clarified on the back of my parents' car.
And then when you have a tinted window and it makes that tint bubble after years?
That's not what makes a tint bubble. Do you know what makes it bubble?
Sun.
Nope. Craig Miller for the steel.
Wind.
Nope. Rich Phillips for the steel.
Jaws.
Nope. George for the steel.
Hot dogs?
Okay.
Ooh, I know.
What?
Robert Redford.
Flatulence.
Did you hear?
What makes
That's probably
bubble?
True in your pizza delivery car.
Probably. I can't afford tinting, though.
Boy, that scene of Jared being a pizza delivery guy makes me so nervous.
Because he's smoking.
Because he's smoking and he's nervous and his car's in disrepair.
And he's hungry.
Yeah, did you ever eat someone's pizza, just like a piece or so, going
no,
delivering?
Liar. Never.
What about after you had that accident and you had pizza right there in the car? It was going to go to waste because you couldn't drive your car.
I don't remember what I did to it.
Uh-huh.
I think I gave it away to the other people.
I think while you were waiting for emergency responders, you unhinged your jaw.
Are you going to answer the question?
It's hot dogs. One of you got it right.
That's me. I said hot dogs.
No, it's you're not supposed to use ammonia-based cleanser on your windows. If you use that on tinted windows, it will bubble your tint off, and then you'll have all that purple cellophane hanging down. Cellophane hanging down.
Cellophane hanging down.
Cellophane That's an amazing story.
Yeah. Or hot dogs. The GOP may raise the cost of hosting their convention here in Dallas by $18 million. You know, we already had to raise $50 to $60 million if we're going to get this thing in private contributions to get the GOP convention.
Wow.
And now they're saying, y'all can raise that much? Well... I think it costs like $18 million more than that, actually, now that we think about it, because of hot dogs.
it happens, man.
Pressure those in.
Because we're going to need hot dogs. Mayor Mike Rawlings wants Dallas to kick the meat habit. Do you guys...
what's he talking about?
Meat snacks.
Is he a vegetarian?
There's no way.
There's no way.
No, he
Nobody likes a big steak as much as him.
He's declared Thursday the Great American Meat Out Day. in Dallas.
We're going a lot of directions there, aren't we? What are we doing? We can't eat meat on Thursday?
So the mayor has the Grow South initiative. He has the Take Back Our Schools to Home Rule initiative.
The I Want Quality Golf and I Want It Now initiative.
Yeah. Now he's declared, I don't know whether it's just this Thursday or all Thursdays are Great American Meat Out Days. Anyway, he's joining.
What's the point? What's behind this?
He says that it's time for Dallas to kick the meat habit. He said, a wholesome diet of vegetables and fresh fruits and whole grains promotes health, reduces the risk of heart diseases, stroke, cancer, and diabetes, and other chronic diseases that affect 1.3 million Americans annually.
Wait, that's all? 1.3 million Americans?
There's no way that's
weird. Yeah.
Not 1.3 million Texans.
Well, that's what seems weird.
All
it?
That
seems
stuff
like his,
that you just listed
numbers are off here.
Only affects 1.3 million Americans.
Let's say we're doing pretty well eating meat.
He then said, hey, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to explore a plant-based diet, all right?
You look at me.
Don't look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Don't look over there. Don't look over there right now. Look at me right in the eye.
What about hamburgers?
All right, pretend we're just talking, all right? I want you to walk away from me after we finish talking. I want you to go outside that door. I want you to go out in the parking lot. And I want you to explore a plant-based diet. What about what? Funyuns?
Hamburgers.
What about them? They're considered meat, I think.
Yeah, but how are we going to survive without hamburgers?
It's just one day. You can go a day without hamburgers.
Know. Yeah, and that's my question. Is this really kicking the meat habit if you go one day?
You got to start.
Correct.
You have to walk before you run.
Right.
Start slow.
But I think this is just a big ploy by the mayor to have all the steak on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hit every steakhouse in town.
I like steak.
And not have any competition as the world's greatest carnivore. You know, Mike Rawlings was named that. All right, did you see what came out of Candace Romo?
Yes.
She gave birth to their second son, Rivers Romo.
Rivers Romo?
That's right.
Weighed 8 pounds and 12 ounces. So now they've had their second boy. Boy, they're making lots of boys in that household.
They are cranking them out in a hurry, too.
And what did George tell us about how if you want to have a boy, what
I never said anything.
Position of conception you
no,
need to assume?
I never said that.
You did say that.
I did not say that. You came up with the position thing.
Well, yes, I did announce that that science had held a press conference and said that to conceive a boy, it's best to be in a position in which you are not facing the female. Which
I've never
you're
heard
both
before.
Facing the same direction. You're both staring at the headboard.
You should never get a good look at the potential mother of your child.
No. And doesn't that help things?
Yes, science!
You're gross.
Because then the back becomes a nice magazine rack.
Hmm.
Or
anyway, congratulations to the Romos. That's
oh yeah, that's right.
Here.
That's what I meant to say.
Do you think either Rivers or Hawkins will ever quarterback the Cowboys, or do you think he'll steer them away from that? Like, dude, it's not worth it.
Well, I go with George's prediction.
Or maybe, dude, it's really worth it.
I go with George's prediction in that among the three of them, none of them will have a Super Bowl trophy.
I didn't say that.
That's what you said.
I did not.
I actually believe in Tony.
Whatever.
I think he's going to bring a Super Bowl trophy to Dallas. What do you think about that?
That's just another one of your hollow declarations.
Hollow.
I don't.
There's nothing
it doesn't
hollow
even
about
phase
that.
Me.
Hawkins turns 2 next month.
Yeah.
And new evidence in the Flight 370 thing. Is anybody fatigued to the story yet?
No, I'm still interested.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. It was the change in direction was programmed 12 minutes before the co-pilot signed off to air traffic controllers and said, all right, good night.
You didn't say that.
12 minutes before.
Yeah.
Because have you seen that theory going around? It was a column written by a pilot. He thinks that there was a fire on board and that...
I saw that. Saw it in Slate.
It made a lot of sense and that he took a hard left because the nearest accessible airport was a hard left away.
Yeah.
But he just didn't have enough time to actually get there. But this would mean that if there was a fire on board and they changed direction, why would he say goodnight?
Right. Yeah, analyst on Anderson Cooper 360 had different interpretations. You know, they disagreed with each other. And one of the guys on there, who was a pilot, said, look, I've worked on many cases where the pilots were suspect and it turned out to be mechanical and a horrible problem. And sometimes an erratic flight path is heroism, not terrorism. Terrorism. I always have to remind myself not to jump to a conclusion because these pilots are fighting amazing battles that we never hear about. So how bad would that be if these guys are?
I know. I keep thinking about that. These guys may have been trying to save the plane.
The search area now stands at 2.97 million square miles, which is an area that's about the size of the U.S. They're trying to find one plane and all that.
I am Belzar.
Oh, God.
Greetings, Earthlings. Let me inform you again that I have your plane. I have told you many times that we captured it. Please listen.
139 people?
Yeah, something like that.
George,
Mick Jagger's
that
dead
we
girlfriend.
Are a fan of the Bird Dogs and Randy Rogers.
Mick Jagger's dead girlfriend.
Because Mars is, after all, red dirt.
Wow, he was trying to get to that. That was the waypoint that he had punched in. At the beginning of this segment.
Goodbye, Earthlings.
Goodbye.
So, yeah, Mick Jagger's dead girlfriend, apparently they had broken up right before she killed herself, and she was $7 million in debt.
Awesome.
So that's a tough one there. And we had another strange crash, this time of a news helicopter up there in Seattle. How creepy is this? It crashes right near the Space Needle. It kills the two guys who are aboard the helicopter, and of course, it bursts into flames when it hits the ground, and it sends a fireball shooting across all these cars that were there, including one car in which a guy gets out, 30-year-old guy, 30-something-year-old guy, jumps out. He's on fire. Mm-hmm. He runs about 20 yards before collapsing, and he is in critical condition, burns over 50% of his body.
Golly.
But it killed those two guys, and I believe our former traffic woman, Alexis, who now works in Seattle, knew one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
How sad is that? Always fear the chopper, and you always fear the police chopper, the medical chopper, and the news chopper. Those, to me, are the most dangerous choppers.
Seems like the odds of a decapitation or crash are higher, a chopper, than just about any other vehicle.
Why is that?
Because you got the blades everywhere.
You're just nervous walking up to those things.
You got the blades everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're far enough off the ground that you don't even run the risk.
Nope. That's what drilled into my head from watching MASH, is that every time they approached the chopper, they had to get way down, or else they'd be decapitated. Remember Vic Morrow filming
that was a crash. Yeah, it was a helicopter that crashed. You ever seen the footage of that?
No, I'm sure you have, over and over and over. Birthdays?
Ursula Andress is 78.
In her day.
Shortstop for the
Elvis'
Rangers.
Mama.
Ruth Poynter of the Poynter Sisters is 68. Is that what Hank is? Is he a pointer?
Nah, we think he's a English hound, foxhound.
Glenn Close is 67. Was she hot in that Fatal Attraction movie or just creepy?
Creepy.
Film producer Harvey Weinstein is 62 and turning 50 in the paper cuts off. 56? 53?
Sure.
Bruce Willis.
Oh.
No, he's like Bruce.
He's only 53?
Well, we don't know. He's in his 50s, according to this printout.
I'd say more than that. Yeah. Right?
Well, how old would he be?
I don't know.
Hey, maybe
55?
60.
Maybe 56?
He is 59 today.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Are you serious?
I knew he wasn't 53.
Good Lord. You have to date.
All right, that's Muse, 732 on the ticket.